ER 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. We are talking to Dr. Melissa Barton, and we've been talking about elder care, this sandwich generation, where we're sometimes caring for our parents the same time we're caring for our kids. And a big issue with the elderly, one out of three adults age 65 and older falls each year, according to the CDC. And as emergency physicians, we see the results of these falls every day, from minor injuries to severe trauma, sometimes even death. So I want to talk to Dr. Barton, and we'll find out who's the most vulnerable and what can be done. And I think sometimes in the elderly, Dr. Barton, there's this issue of vanity. So sometimes they won't wear glasses, or they're not wearing their hearing aid, and they're, you know, not hearing if there's an issue up ahead, or, you know, not just not seeing clearly, or not changing their glasses that often can also affect, you know, their mobility and how they get around, and then, you know, just takes a fall sometimes, a minor fall.
Absolutely. We've had patients recently that came in for falls because of not wanting to use their walker. And, you know, maybe they had an ankle sprain or something and were being discharged with their walker, and out walks the elderly patient, followed by the son or daughter holding the walker that the parent will not use. So it's a common problem.
Right, because they're not old. They don't need a walker, but yeah. So let's talk a little bit about you know, obviously, if you're prescribed a walker, that's one of the things. Regular vision and hearing checks, and, you know, what are some other things that people should think about, just sort of related to falls, to sort of as a prevention measure, types of checkups and things like that, like drug interactions can sometimes contribute.
Absolutely. And I was just going to mention that some literature I have read shows that the leading cause for falls in senior citizens is polypharmacy, meaning one particular medication they're taking, or perhaps an interaction between two or more medicines. It's really important that every physician who's caring for the parent, orthopedic surgeon, cardiologist, primary care, emergency room, that we all know what list of medications they're on. Some of them can cause dehydration, which can make, you know, our loved one dizzy and wobbly. And likewise, there's also the chance that there can be medications that can help or alleviate some of the difficulties with dizziness and unsteadiness. So first and foremost, starting with the medications that are either being taken or that could be prescribed, I think is key in helping prevent falls.
And then what other types of things, we'll talk in a minute a little bit about around the house, what you can do to sort of fall-proof your house. But for seniors themselves, you know, it helps to walk and exercise and things. Balance is a big issue as you get older that can be related to falls and injury, right?
Absolutely. Senior citizens need to keep up their strength and their flexibility and mobility, even going for walks in the house or around the block with neighbors or sons and grandchildren and whatnot, because we don't want to be so paranoid about them falling that they end up stuck in the house, not mobile, because that by itself can cause other problems like pneumonia and other complications. So continuing to stay active, and it's never too early to start, you know, strength training and exercising, no matter the age, and obviously in consultation with your doctor. But yes, the muscle strength is important in helping your balance.
That is very true. You know, a little bit of muscle strength really does go a long way for that. And it is an issue. And it's true. It's something that, you know, the earlier you start as you're getting older and aging, the better you do. It helps with osteoporosis, because especially falls, you know, when you're talking about osteoporosis, hip fractures cause a great deal of mortality and, you know, morbidity and illness in the elderly. That was sort of the downfall. I had a 95-year-old grandfather who was almost living alone in an apartment, but then, you know, once he did break his hip, that was the beginning of the end. So it's like a catch-22. So the more that you exercise or do a little weight-bearing exercise, the less osteoporosis, the less likely you fall, and the less likely you fracture. But
absolutely. And, you know, and just one medication that we probably should touch a bit on is if you're on any kind of blood thinner, such as warfarin and some of the new anticoagulant medications that are coming out, it's especially important that, you know, your doctor is aware of how easily the parent gets around the house and their stability in walking, because those medications, you know, put elderly people at risk for significant complications should they fall.
Yeah. And, you know, practical, comfortable shoes are interesting. But, you know, I once read something that tennis shoes sometimes can stick, that you shouldn't have a slip sole, but you have to be careful that you don't have a big tread in your shoe, like some of the running or tennis shoe types that are available today, which a lot of times you do see the elderly in, because things can get caught, the tread can get caught, and then you can trip and fall just from that.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And, you know, comfortable shoes, not slippers that are have been worn for many, many years, so by now they're stretched and too big, and really trying to plan ahead and no throw rug that those same sneakers that you mentioned could get caught on. A little bit of prevention will go a long way in the long run.
Yeah, that's a good point. So for your house, you know, getting all loose things off the floor, especially if you are taking care of young kids and your parents at the same time, you know how hard it is to keep all the toys picked up. But those are a fall hazard for anyone, even if you're, you know, getting something in the middle of the night and it's dark. That's another thing. And then I guess consider some of the other bigger safety things. The same way we almost baby-proof, there are grips you can put in the shower and the tub, right, for parents getting in and out of the tub, things like that that can help.
Yeah, and there's elevators, you know, for the toilet seat so that they are not so low to the ground to make it easier to stand and sit, and similar with bathtubs as well. You can consider having lights in the home that are actually motion-activated, so that when the elderly person goes into another room, the lights automatically come on, or even have them on a timer to assist, you know, with them being able to see very easily.
That's a great idea, because sometimes you walk into a room from another side and the light switches at the other end at night.
Exactly.
So that's a great idea.
And, you know, and you had mentioned kid toys, and more I've been seeing senior citizens tripping over pet toys and the pet themselves. And, in fact, we had to get a collar with a bell for my elderly mother's Shih Tzu after about the third fall over this tiny dog that happened to have the same color fur as the carpet, which is not a good idea. we had to have some other way for her to be able to know that the dog was right around her feet.
That's a good idea, putting a little bell on a pet, because pets are a big one. They're very healthy for seniors to have them and take care of something, but they do have that potential there for a fall. That's a very good point.
And, you know, and like you mentioned, having the eyes examined and just trying to make sure that the home is safe, and when the elderly person does fall and says everything is okay, they don't want to go to the hospital. If you think something may be wrong in the 85-year-old that never complains of pain, have them come into the ER and let us take a look at them.
Yeah, that is a very good point, Dr. Barton, because it takes very little trauma, even not significant head trauma, to cause significant problems in the elderly brain. So I think better safe than sorry. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Melissa Barton, for this interesting discussion.